Yep.
Welcome to class today. It is good to see you here. So before we begin, any comments, questions, or other things for me? Okay, at this point, hopefully after lab yesterday, you should all have Java and Eclipse installed on your computers. If any of you do not have that after lab, that probably means you didn't go to lab, but make sure you do. We won't actually start using that until next week, but we'll actually use it in class next week on Friday. We'll talk about that more as we get closer to it, and it'll be what you use for most of the rest of the semester as well. As a reminder, there's no class on Monday. Just in case you thought there was, there won't be. Nobody will be here to talk to you if you show up. And today's topic is ambiguity. Oh, this is not on. And that's still not on. Here we are. All right. So today's topic is ambiguity. So we talked last time about the idea we're going to be teaching the computer what to do. And there's one thing computers absolutely can't even begin to do, which is understand ambiguity. So if you tell it something and there's more than one way to interpret it, it doesn't know what you mean. Unless you tell it explicitly with no ambiguity how it should interpret what you tell it to do anyway. So you have to eventually get down to some sort of unambiguous discussion. Absolutely no ambiguity in it at all. It is surprisingly difficult to come up with an English sentence with no ambiguity at all. Most English sentences can be interpreted in many ways, and some of them in unbelievably large numbers of ways. And so part of what we do is we define new languages that do not have ambiguity in them. Languages that can only be interpreted one way. And while we're at it, we make languages where it's very easy to give instructions. So programming languages usually don't have any ability to say things like, the weather sure is nice, but they do have ability to say things like, bring me a glass of milk now. Right? It's all about giving instructions to the computer to do things. So we're going to start off with a little activity. So we're going to deal with paper airplanes to start with. I have never made a paper airplane and or don't know what you're talking about. Okay, we will skip that part of the lecture then, and we'll jump right down to the next part. So I have here a little bit more paper than there are people in the room. We're going to pass this around, but before we do, I need to tell you what we're going to do. You can use the paper however you want. Please don't throw it around the room yet. We'll get to that later. Okay? Fold a paper airplane, figure out how you'd fold a paper airplane. Then you need to write down unambiguously how to create the paper airplane you had in mind. This must be textual, no pictures. You're not allowed to say, follow this fold and have a fold on the paper. You just have to have text that describes how to make your paper airplane. We will then shuffle the paper through the room, and somebody else is going to try to follow your instructions. You are not going to be there to look over their shoulder and tell them what they got wrong. Hey, any questions? All right, so let's get some paper distributed. Thank you. that question, where do you write it down? You can write down your instruction on the paper we give you. That's sort of what we intend for you to do, but you can also write it down on some other piece of paper. Whatever you write it down on, though, you're going to give to somebody else and never get back. So don't write it on something you care about. That does not yet have a piece of paper, raise your hand nice and high so we can see them and keep them up until you do. Say anything you want. You just have to hope the other person knows what you mean.
And so we're not supposed to be folding it ourselves.
You're welcome to fold if you need to write the directions, but the outcome of this activity is directions.
Directions. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Should we write our name on this in any way, shape, or form, or no?
You don't need to for now. We may mention some of that a little bit from now.
Thank you.
If you finish writing your directions, or as you finish writing your directions, you will probably want to debug them. What does that mean? It means you try them out and see if they can go wrong. Hey? So try following your directions with a literal mind and see if it can end up with something you didn't intend. If you're still working, by all means, keep working. But if you have a little extra time, you might want to try debugging. To work on your directions. So if that means you have to be a little more ambiguous and hasty for the end, go ahead and do that. To shuffle the directions. So I don't care how you make it happen, but you need to end up with somebody else's directions and somebody else needs to end up with yours. As a hint, if you throw your directions, you're unlikely to get anybody's back. I'm glad we're all having fun practicing trajectories. If you do not currently have a paper airplane direction, raise your hand nice and high up above your head. If you have more than one or there's something on the floor, find somebody with hands to give yours to. Keep your hands up until you get one. if you don't have directions, just share with somebody next to you. Now what you have to do. Okay, this is the hard part. So we're going to talk about this in some detail. Okay, so your attention for a moment. We'll get back to having fun in a moment. All right, so we're going to talk about how you're going to follow the directions. All right, so your goal is to follow the directions exactly as written, okay? But if there's ambiguity, do something odd, okay? So if the directions say, fold the paper in half, if that were what they said, in half, okay? You would have to fold it in half, but you wouldn't have to do it in any particular orientation. It would have to go through the middle of the paper, but it could be whatever you want it to be, okay? So follow directions as written, but wrong if there's room to be wrong. When you're done, try throwing your paper airplane down to me, see if it makes it. Come back together. Okay. Now, I've been opening up paper airplanes and reading them. And most of them, there's no way the directions written on them would create an airplane as good as I have. So maybe you just want to make airplanes, and that's cool. Did anybody read particularly fascinating directions they think ought to be shared? Yeah.
Stand up and dance.
Okay. Does that result in a paper airplane? Is it unambiguous? Okay, tell me a dance you can do while standing. Okay? One of the things you'll find if you deal with people that program a lot is you'll find all this sort of really weird literalist humor. And it's because we're used to computers forcing us to be literal. And so we start thinking about things like, you can't stand up and dance. Maybe they'll stand up and then dance. Okay? Right? Anyway, other interesting directions. Yeah?
Step four was repeat step four.
Step four was repeat step four. Great. Okay? This is actually important. Okay? We'll talk more about this next Wednesday. But one of the things we will talk about is an algorithm. And one of the many things an algorithm must do is it must halt. It must complete. It must be finite. A direction, step four, repeat step four, makes it not an algorithm. And we'll talk more about algorithms on Wednesday. So just a brief preview there. Other interesting directions. Yeah?
Ball up the piece of paper and cry.
Ball up the piece of paper and cry. Was that unambiguous?
No.
No. But it's close-ish. Yeah. It's probably more unambiguous than most of what we saw. Would it result in something that can be thrown?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Not a bad direction. The crying might be extraneous. Yeah.
Mine had two steps, and the third one was make a paper airplane.
Ah! Yeah, make a paper airplane. Okay? This is something we'll talk about late in the semester. It's called recursion. Okay? I've heard of recursion before. And some of you, right? Recursion is defined in terms of itself. I should not say bye. I should say Ray. Anyway, so we'll talk about how we can do that to actually solve problems, but usually, not the best way to do it. Other interesting directions, yeah? You're volunteering somebody else?
Mine?
Okay.
Open Google and right-click, type in search bar, how to make a paper airplane.
Nice! Did you do it?
I did not.
Oh, you didn't follow the directions.
It wasn't the one that's giving me.
Oh, I just sort of fell at your feet. Yeah. Okay, so, right, sometimes, how do I solve the problem? Find somebody else who solved it and go do whatever they said. We'll do this a lot. Okay? If we want to make a window show up on our screen, we are not going to deal with all the electronic signals we have to send across the wire that connects your screen to your computer. We're going to use somebody else's version. It's very similar to saying, go to Google and do whatever they say. So this is actually an important idea. Other interesting directions we read, yeah?
I got a YouTube link.
A YouTube link. And did it work? Does it fly?
No.
It was fun to watch the video, I'm sure. Okay. So, let's talk about how we would do this, alright? We've talked about building paper airplanes. There's ambiguity. I found ambiguity in my instructions. There was no ambiguity at all in the directions I was given. I am one of the 2/3 of the students that is not actually alive, because we don't know how the difference between excluded middle. Okay. Alright, so, let's talk about how we would make unambiguous directions. One of the interesting things that will happen if we want to make unambiguous directions is we need to define some unambiguous language. It is extremely hard to be unambiguous in English. Okay? Let's start with an example. Most of the paper airplanes that I see on the floor about me appear to have started with a fold like this, right? Sort of down the middle-ish. Okay? How can we define that single fold unambiguously in English? I think I can define it unambiguously in English. Yes, in the back.
Fold in half long ways.
All right, fold in half long ways. Fold in half long ways. Okay, so here I am. Long ways isn't a word, but I'll pretend like it is. And it probably means, so I want a long fold. The longest fold I think I can make is between these two corners. Okay. So far, so good. Okay? Not what we wanted. Can we be more precise? Yes. From center of short edge to center of opposite edge. Okay. I think this is unambiguous. I trust Professor Tikhonovich's ability to find ambiguity in anything. Good, you should. Right, so it's pretty clear what's meant by this. As humans, we know what you mean, right? This is a shorter edge than that, and this is opposite the short edge. Okay? The part of that is not actually in these directions. Opposite edge is opposite of what? All four of the edges are opposite one of the other edges. Right? We haven't finished defining what you mean. We're really close. Okay? We're not quite there. Now, there's actually a weird way you can interpret this. You could say that the center of the edge is the line that runs down the middle of the edge lengthwise, because the edge actually has width, and so therefore there must be a center, even if it's like a micron wide, right? And so I have to somehow fold that way, and it just totally won't work, right? So there is still room for ambiguity in anything, but we're getting pretty close. We're going to define an unambiguous language for paper airplanes. That's what we're going to do next, okay? And like most unambiguous languages, it's going to look like code. It's going to look nonsensical. I don't know exactly what it'll look like. It'll depend somewhat on what you think. I have a handful of them in mind and will sort of direct it somewhat. But what we need to do when we're thinking about a language is we need to have any language needs nouns and verbs. Things we talk about and things we can do to them. Okay? So what's something we need to talk about or some action that we need to take a lot when making paper airplanes? Yes? Okay, we need the idea of fold. Is fold a verb or a noun in your mind?
Verb.
Okay, so in our verb side, we're putting fold and crease. Is that also? Verb. Fold. And is crease also a... And is it one verb, fold and crease? Or is it two?
Probably.
Okay, so we're going to have fold and crease is one of our verbs. One of the things we can do is fold and crease. What are some other things we should have in our language? Things we should be able to talk about. Sorry? Throw. Is that important for making a paper airplane?
To test it.
Okay, so maybe we'll want to throw so that we can test if it worked. Now, when we're talking to computers... We do have languages for testing, but it's not for the computer to do. Right? I don't tell the computer, try this out, and if it works, keep doing it. I try it out, and if it works, tell the computer to keep doing it. But it's a nice idea. All right, so we got throw, we got fold and crease. Any other verbs we need? Any other things we need to be able to do? Yes?
Unfold.
All right. We need to be able to unfold. Anything else? Yeah?
Something like... drag so that you can move one end of the paper over.
Ah, so some kind of drag or move some part of the paper to another part of the paper in some fashion. Other verbs?
A line.
Ooh, that's a nice one and really hard to define. But we'll just leave it vague for now. Yes?
Is that a way to recognize each
of the sides? Oh, okay. So in the nouns... We need each side. We need to be able to talk about each of them individually. Yeah?
In half.
In half. Okay, so we have an adverb. In half. Yeah?
Fold should be a noun too.
Fold should be a noun too. And should we be able to talk about each of them or just in general?
Each of them.
Yeah, we probably need each fold. What else do we need to be able to talk about? Yeah?
We need a verb for turnover.
Ah, we need some sort of flip. corner. I assume you mean that as a noun and not a verb. And right behind you, yeah. We need some idea of lengthwise or long ways.
Paper.
We need paper. Sorry? Vertically. Vertically. Ooh, this is an interesting one. But we'll put it down here anyway. What does vertically mean when we're talking about paper?
Hot dog.
Hot dog? All right, we'll throw it down here. Right? Vertically usually means away from gravity or aligned with gravity, which is so weird when you're talking about paper, which we usually lay flat, unless you're putting it on a bowl. Anyway. Yeah. Left and right. Yes, we do definitely need some way of distinguishing between left and right. And for that matter, probably up and down or top and bottom as well. Directions would probably be useful. Yes?
Horizontally.
All right, if we have vertically, we should have horizontally. All right, we're getting a list. We can keep adding to this list. Okay? We've got enough now, we can start to define a language. When we start to define a language, we have to figure out what's the minimal number of things to start working with. We can add more features later. Okay? But what's the smallest pieces we need to have to start building a paper airplane? So, are there any of these verbs we absolutely, under no conditions, can do without? We cannot remove it from the language. Absolutely must stay. Fold. All right, so we're going to start with fold. Let's change our color here. Okay, we are going to keep folding. Absolutely must have fold. Is there anything else we absolutely must have?
Paper.
How many of your directions did not mention paper? Anybody? Several of you. Did that cause you any problems? The fact it did not say the word paper? Nope. So maybe we don't even need to be able to talk about it. Maybe we can just assume it's the universal discourse. Okay? Similarly, a computer doesn't need to have a word for computer. It's just all there is. Right? The universe revolves and is the computer. And so we don't ever have to talk about the universe. Okay? Anything else we absolutely need? Yes?
Unfold.
I can make a paper airplane without ever unfolding. About 10% of us. Would somebody like to tell me how? You fold, you fold, you fold.
And then that's...
And that's the paper airplane?
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
Okay. This one right here, one of many iterations of this version of paper airplane, did not involve any unfolding, right? But we probably want unfold. Most of the ones that look like paper airplanes have unfold, so we'll keep unfold. Okay? Could we make a language without it? Probably. We'll need some verb. Sorry, some noun. Suppose we only have one noun. Which one should we keep? Side. Okay, we'll pick side. We're going to talk about folding and sides. Let's see how much we can do with just that. First off, let's throw in just a little bit of odd vocabulary, okay? We'll be learning Java this semester. And Java, like most programming languages, uses the wrong word for everything. Okay? This is useful because it keeps you from getting confused if somebody's talking Java or English. But it does mean we need to learn a little new vocabulary. So verbs in Java and most programming languages are called methods. Okay? So we're going to have a fold method or fold instruction, but usually method. We won't bother talking about what nouns are named because they're sort of like three different things. We'll get to that as we go along. But when we talk about methods, the method fold, okay? It If I have a piece of paper and I say, fold, does it make any sense? Yes, fold by itself makes sense. No, it does not. All right, we think it doesn't. What do we need to add? What else does it need to know? Yeah. It needs to know a direction. Yes. So what we call these extra pieces we put in is the parameters or arguments. Or argument. Okay, so a parameter or argument of a method is the extra information we have to have besides the method name itself in order for it to make sense. Okay? So one possible parameter or argument could be direction. So I could say, fold that way. Not going to help a lot. Yeah.
We need a start point and an end point.
Oh, okay. So let's say we have 2 points. Okay? Fold. And I pick 2 points on the paper. Is that enough to unambiguously define a fold? Yes, it's unambiguous. No, we need more. All right. I'm going to defend this unambiguous. If we think back to high school geometry, or maybe middle school or elementary school, depending on how progressive your curriculum was, a line is defined by how many points?
Two.
A fold has how many lines involved?
One.
So if I have a paper and I have 2 points, that defines a line, I can fold along that line. Right? I can make a fold that connects the 2 points. I could mean something else, but we're defining our own language. So we can define fold with 2 points to mean it's the fold that connects those 2 points. Yes?
What about which way to
fold? Ah, right. So I pick 2 points, I make a fold. What ends up on top? Unclear. Okay? So let's define a fold method. Let's see, oh, wrong one. Let's see how well we can do defining a fold method. Okay? So let's say we're going to define fold, which takes point one and point two. We'll see more what this looks like in Java, but we'll typically define things, name, parentheses, all the stuff we need to know. Okay, so we're going to say this method takes 2 things and needs to know 2 points. And then we're going to describe what happens. Okay, so we're going to describe this ambiguously because I don't feel like going down into the physics of what folding means. Okay, so we're going to make a fold connecting the 2 points. And then we need a direction. So such that, how do we decide the direction? Okay? And there's lots of things we could do. I have my paper, I know the fold. The simplest thing is I say which side of the line comes up and over. Okay? It's not the only way to define a fold, but it's an unambiguous way of defining the fold. One half stays still, the other half comes up and over on top. And there's lots of ways we can do this. I have a suggestion about how we decide which one comes up and over on top. Anyone? Yes? Okay, such that right side becomes top. And then we have to define what we mean by right side. Okay, so let's just define that the right side, I'm looking from point 1 to point 2. Okay, so I'm looking from 1 to 2, there's a right side, that's the thing that should come up on top. To define that formally, we need a little linear algebra. Who really cares, right? We're going to say when looking from point 1 to point 2. We've defined a method. We've defined a verb in our language. We can fold. Okay? Using this method, we can write a lot of paper airplane stuff. Most of the paper airplane's about my feet. The only extra thing they need beyond that is an unfold, some arbitrary amount. Okay? They also need some way of describing points. Okay, how do I define a point? How do I know which point I am talking about in text? I need some sort of coordinate system on my paper. Okay? So we're going to have, in general when we talk about language, there's some sort of context built in. There's the nouns that are built into the language, the verbs that are built in, the fundamental building blocks of the language. So we might say, let's say our language just defines on a piece of paper, we will define this direction to be X, this direction to be Y. Okay? Maybe let's say we go from 0 to 1. 0 to 1 on the original piece of paper. And now every single point that's on the paper I can define with two numbers. Okay? So now I can talk about any pair of points. I have my fold method. Okay? And then the only other thing I need to know is how to unfold some amount and possibly how to flip it over. Right? So we taught fold from the previous slide. Okay? It takes an XY and another XY. We'll need some unfold. Okay? How should we describe which fold to unfold? Ideas? Yeah? Okay, so we can use point 1, point 2, and then let's put a percentage. How about? Unfold it 50%, 100%, however much we need to unfold it. And let's just add a flip over. Do we need any parameters for flip over? Yeah?
How much you're flipping over?
Oh, okay, sure. We'll say a percentage here, too. Okay? We could define all these formally. Hopefully you know what they mean. We now have a language for building paper airplanes. Okay? And so we could define how to build some paper airplane in terms of this language. And we have a little less time than I had hoped. So I'm not going to have you all do that together. But let's start talking about it. Let's actually have you start it on your own. Okay? So, I want to fold sort of the simple paper airplane that looks like this. Okay. Ah, that wasn't supposed to happen. Okay. The paper airplane that just sort of only has, what is it, 5 folds? Can you write the directions for this paper airplane using these 3 pieces? Fold, unfold, flip over. Give it a try. Okay? If you're not sure what paper airplane I mean, come up with a very simple paper airplane. Hopefully this is clear enough, because I don't want to have to write it down in code. But see what you can do, okay? If you get somewhere and you're like, I have no idea what to do, raise your hand, and we'll come over and talk. We'll just spend a minute or two on this, and we'll sort of wrap it up and see how this connects to what we're doing the rest of the semester. And it worked?
I don't know. I've never thought of it yet.
I'll have a moment in the end here. Sure, I should have brought a broom today. I should have brought a broom with me. I completely forgot. Yeah. Unless you want them. Huh? Yeah. Okay. So, we've talked a little about this. Let's just see, what's the very first instruction? Somebody want to say, the first instruction we need to do to start building this airplane is? Yes?
Fold 0.5, 0, and 0.
0.5, 0, and?
0.5.
Okay. This is right. This is wrong. Whoa, everybody thinks it's wrong. What happens? Okay. So I've got the middle of the bottom and the middle of the right side. Right? And I fold those two. And that probably wasn't what I wanted to do. Okay? So, as we do programming languages, we're going to find there's a lot of this going on. You're going to say, oh, I know how to say it. You're going to try saying it and it won't work. And try it again and it won't work. And it'll be really annoying. And then one day you'll just suddenly get it and you can picture it in your head. And somebody will show you a paper airplane. You can just write down all the directions and poof. Okay? That takes time. That takes patience. We're not going to deal with a paper airplane language. We're going to deal with a much bigger language that can do more general things. But a lot of the concepts carry over. Okay, a couple things before you go. First off, if there are paper airplanes sitting near you, please don't leave them there. Second, as we come back, remember on Tuesday, we'll come back on Friday of next week. You'll need to bring your computers. We'll talk about that again as it comes up. Have a great weekend.